because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to Podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Inside the Hockey Central studio on this Friday at Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet, the NHL Network in the United States, it is Darren Millard, Damian Cox, and a disheveled Elliot Friedman making his Hockey Central at Noon debut.
The guy has to write one column a week for .ca, and it completely unravels him.
He walks in and says, anytime I have to file my 30 thoughts, I'm a wreck.
The next day is just a write-off.
What would make it easier? Like, if we trimmed it down to what number?
No, yeah, two thoughts. Yeah.
Two thoughts would make your life a lot easier.
Then I wouldn't have to make up 28 of them.
Now, is this the Hockey Central at Noon edition where I don't get screamed at by two guys on either side of me?
Yeah.
That's this one?
Yeah.
Only because you positioned yourself where there can't be two people on either side of you.
Deep breath.
Now, part of it is Doug and Nick, but part of it is you.
Moi?
Well, you tend to bring that out in people.
Moi?
Would you agree with that, Elliot?
Elliot, careful.
Yeah, you know,
Elliot works with me on Saturday night. I don't make him angry.
You strike me as the kind of guy who last night would have been the ringleader of the don't lift your stick after the win
okay,
routine.
So now Phil Kessel, who left practice early today, is getting just mutilated on Twitter because he didn't salute the crowd at the end of the game like everybody else.
Oh, my God.
Like, it's actually popular subject on Twitter. We'll get back to that. Right now, let's slide over to Jim Neal, Dallas Stars general manager, who is coming off the contract extension to Jason Spezza, a four-year deal. How long, truthfully, has this negotiation been taking place?
Yeah, actually, this started right after we traded for Jason. Rick Kearns, Jason's agent, and we spoke right after the trade, and we said, you know what, let's let Jason kind of get settled into Dallas first. You know, so we kind of touched base. And then things really kind of heated up over the last 2-3 weeks. You know, once he was settled in, his family's, you know, comfortable here, his kids are in school, we started talking, and Rick and Jason were very good. It was a very, it was a good negotiation, and it went very smooth for both sides.
Jim, it's Damian, and I'm wondering, you know, the hockey team hasn't played as well as you'd hoped in the early part of the season. Does that make the optics of this awkward at all, or do you just sign the deal when the deal gets done and you can't let it be predicated on wins or losses at any particular time?
Yeah, I think the latter. We are disappointed in the start of the season. We've been very inconsistent. There's been some different factors involved. But, you know, hopefully we're fighting out of this. We're a better team than what we've shown. We got a very young back end. But in the end, this was something that we wanted to get done on both sides. You know, Jason wants to be a Dallas Star. He loves it here. He loves what we're building. And from our end, he's a big part of our, over the next 4 years, next 5 years of what we're building here. So it's something that just had to get done no matter the factors.
Jim, was there any concern your part at any point throughout this that you thought that Jason might not sign and test free agency at the end of this year?
No, before I made the trade, I spoke with Jason, I spoke with his agent, and we were one of the teams on the top of his list. He likes the direction we're heading, you know, with the Benz and Sagan, that opportunity to play with those guys. They did their research. They see that we have some pretty good young defensemen coming up. You know, we just saw last night Klingberg. I don't know if anybody saw his goal, but it kind of shows an inkling of what we got coming up. We got a couple other guys. So he knows what we're building, and he's looking forward to being part of that.
Dallas Stars general manager Jim Neal is with us on Hockey Central at Noon. His numbers are great when you look at relation to other parts of the team, but the minus is there. How is Jason Spezza fit in?
Well, he's been a great fit. You know, he gives Lindy a lot of flexibility. There's been times during the season early on and different times through these 20 games we've played that he's put together Ben and Sagan with those guys. And when they're together, they're very dynamic. And it really changes the outlook of our team. You know, Lindy can do that say, going into a third period with 2 minutes to go, you throw that line together, and they're a pretty dynamic line. So it gives the coach a lot of flexibility, and he's going to be a great fit. You know, he's still finding his way, too. A little bit different style. The West's a little bit different, you know, so he's still finding his way that way. But over the last four or five games, I've really seen Jason really start to relax out there and kind of become more of himself.
I know it's been a challenge, Jim, for you guys to try to win back the fans in Dallas over the last couple of years. They turned out in great numbers when the team was, you know, winning the Stanley Cup, and it's been more of a challenge in the last few years. When you have a start to the season like this, I mean, here in Toronto, they lose a couple of games, and it's just crazy. What's the reaction?
Well, they lost them in a little different
but
style.
What's the reaction in Dallas when the team's not winning as many games as you'd like it to win?
Well, I think fans are the same everywhere. They're disappointed. You know, the expectations, you know, after last year's, you know, when we got into the playoffs last year, had a good battle then. I'm in the playoffs. You know, we made some major moves in the summer, and our expectations are high. And the fans are disappointed, and they should be. And that's why I say I think our team, we're starting to come around. We've lost a lot of games over the last eight games that we probably could have won eight games in a row. We've been either tied or had the lead going into the second period, eight of the last 10 games, and we've lost those games. So it's a fine line, winning and losing. But like anywhere, the fans are disappointed, and we've got to be better, and we know that, and we're hoping that last night is kind of the start of that.
Jim, I'm always interested in cap management. You signed Spezza to this to the new deal with the AAV at 7.5. Do you look at it and say, we've got to deal with Jamie Benn in, you know, a couple of years? When you're putting this deal together, how much talk is there about, okay, if we're going to do this for Jason, what are we going to have to do for Jamie when the time comes?
No, that is a big part of it. And that's where the 4 years was important from our end. And that's where Rick Kern and Jason were very respectful of that. They know our cap situation. Jason wants to make sure that, you know, he's surrounded by good players too. And then that's why the 4 years is a big part of it. And, you know, we know in 3 and 4 years down the road that we have our other two big stars coming up. And the good thing is we've got a very young team. We've got lots of cap from right now, and we've got it kind of set up that we'll be sitting pretty good cap-wise moving forward.
So how close are you? We're with Jim Nill, the Dallas Stars general manager, coming off a 3-1 win over Arizona last night in Hockey Central at noon with Millard, Friedman, and Cox. How close are you to joining that group with Anaheim, with Los Angeles, with Chicago in the Western Conference?
I think we're very close and we're very far.
Okay, you want to expand on that?
I think that's the league. I think we're starting to get there talent-wise. I think now it's the learning process. And that's what our team's going through right now. We got a lot of young guys, and it's about being an everydayer. It's something that I learned. I was very fortunate in Detroit to learn. And it's about doing things right every day, no matter whether it's on the ice or off the ice. And that's what our young guys are going through right now. That's why it was important for our farm team last year. You know, they won the Calder Cup Championship. For those guys to learn what it takes to win. You know, it's eating the right way. It's sleeping the right way. It's on a back to that game, learning how to play the proper way, and, you know, how to play when you got the lead, and different things like that. And it's on the ice and off the ice. And that's something that it just doesn't happen. You have to learn it. And I think if you look at all the good teams, you look at the LA, Chicago, you know, Tays and Keene, Chicago Blackhawks didn't go from a bad team to a good team overnight. It took time. They went through growing pains, and that's what we're going through right now. And that's why I say, I think we're talent-wise, I think we're matching up with those teams now. Now it's just learning what those teams learned, what made them better teams.
You mentioned John Klingberg and scored his first NHL goal last night. Two-part question. One, was a big part of trading Sergei Gonchar to make room for Klingberg to make sure he had the ice time? And two, did you have any idea that he could come up here and play 25 minutes a game for you?
Well, you know, part one, yes, so that was a big part of the Gonchar trade. We got Klingberg, I got Oleksiak, we brought up Jyrki Jokipäkki, a Finnish player, he's only 23. We've got Patrick Nemeth, unfortunately, got injured. We got four young guys. We've got Julius Honka down in the minors. So we've got four or five young guys that are all knocking on the door. And it was just kind of becoming the time for them to kind of evolve into this team and then start grabbing it. So that was a big part of the Sergei move. And then as far as Klingberg, we've known he's been a special player. Last year he went through hip surgery, and the expectations were that, you know, he'd make the team right out of camp. But with the hip surgery, we wanted to be a little bit careful. So in the end, we sent him down to the minors just to let him get his feet wet under a little bit less pressure situation. And he went down there. He was one of the leading scorers as a defenseman in the league. And he just continued to do it now up here.
You mentioned, just in passing, you mentioned Julius Honka. He suggested recently that you're going to let him play at the World Juniors for Finland. I don't know. He decided to make that announcement on his own. is he clear to go and do that? And are you in favor of letting players go and play in that tournament?
Yeah, no, we haven't even had that discussion yet with Julius. That was something that we talked about before the season started. But we haven't had an opportunity to talk about that with him yet. We'll kind of, over the next 2 weeks, kind of make that decision and go from there.
Jim, have you looked, like a couple of general managers who've looked for defensemen say it's a really tight, tough market. You know, have you tried to add to your blue line? And if so, how difficult have you found it to do it?
We've looked at some different scenarios. You know, first of all, it's not easy. Nobody's given up a real good quality defenseman without getting something back in return, and it's hard to find defensemen. And then with our team, we've got to be a little bit careful too, because of those, you know, those four or five players I mentioned. I got to be careful that I don't lock them out. These guys are going to play for us, so I got to be very careful what moves I make and what I give up, so that we can keep moving forward.
Jim Nill from the Dallas Stars, congratulations on getting the extension done with Jason Spezza, and good luck as you try and turn the corner and get into that upper echelon in the Western Conference.
Good. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Jim Nill, always a great guy. He's very honest, very forthcoming. We'd also like to thank Elliot Friedman for taking the pressure off us today with his ball cap.
What, you look ridiculous. Like, for those of you who are on radio today, you are very lucky. Like, what is your deal?
I told you I was, wait a second, shouldn't we be talking about Jim Nill instead of talking about my grimy appearance?
You know what I'm interested in? I'm halfway through asking Jim Nill a question, and this guy over here feels he has to edit the question for me. Like, what was that? Well, it was they lost big games.
Well,
Why don't you let me ask the question?
You're making it sound like they lost
two games. Answer the question, and that's how it works.
It wasn't just two losses. I heard Kessel say, what, a couple of losses. Well, they were horrible,
terrible.
See
what I'm talking about here? I can see why the guys you work with
normally
do
this. I think you're taking that a little too personally.
That's the hat, man. It's got me thrown. What's the 33?
Larry Bird.
Oh, okay. All right.
You may have heard of him.
I've heard of him. I've heard of him.
Would Larry wear that hat?
I have no idea.
So,
I checked. 30 thoughts isn't even up yet.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be 33 thoughts.
I can't do three more.
What's in 30 thoughts this week?
Good?
No. actually, it's the top part of it was I had a nice conversation yesterday with Brian Berard, who now speaks to the NHL, the rookies. The NHL and the NHLPA invite him to every rookie symposium to talk about managing your money.
Right.
And the mistakes he made, because, you know, he's a guy who's estimated he lost between $3 and $6 million to a couple of guys who are now indicted for what they did to him and other people. A
couple of NHL guys were involved in that, who got lost some bucks in that. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really good about it, like about how, you know, when you're a young player, you get in the NHL, all you want to do is worry about playing hockey because you want to make it full time, and you ignore it, and you say, okay, somebody else will handle this because I don't want to worry about it, and the pitfalls of that. Like, can you read a balance sheet? Do you understand your bank statements? Is your money liquid, or do you have it all in things like real estate that you can't get your money out of? Mm-hmm. Just, you know, remember Berard in Toronto? He's a quiet guy, didn't like to say a lot, but he was really passionate talking about this particular topic, and unfortunately it's relevant now.
Really disappointed in some of the heat that's been put on Jack Johnson in this, in the sense that, why wouldn't you trust your parents?
Yeah.
Like, they're the two people. They may be buffoons, I don't know. But they're still your parents.
You don't still trust them. Even if your mother or your father's a jackass, you don't expect them to steal from
you.
No. Right.
Right?
Right.
You expect them to embarrass you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think his father did that on any number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't expect them to steal your money from you. And that is, it's an awful, awful story.
You know, I don't want, I know, I had a friend whose family went through some tough times, and to extricate themselves, one of the children had to sue the father, and it wasn't a move that they wanted to make. It was a move that legally they had to make. And I just remember how painful that was. And that was when they didn't want to make it. Like, now that you have to do it, I can only imagine. Well,
and I think sometimes these family relationships, and to a certain extent, it's none of our business. But at the same time, whether it's Jack Johnson, his situation, whether it's Bobby Ryan and all the stuff he went through with his dad, and any number of situations, obviously they're going to impact on how athletes perform at different times. But at the same time, we don't know that information, so you can't sit back there and go, well, he's a minus 23 because, you know, his mom's mad at him.
Here's a former teammate of Jack Johnson's, Andrew Cogliano, when they played at Michigan together. He joins us here on Hockey Central at noon with Darren Millard, Elliot Friedman, who's wearing a Larry Bird hat today.
For some reason.
And Damian Cox.
My favorite
hat. You know why I keep mentioning it? Because normally I get ripped for what I wear.
So I'm glad I took the heat off you today.
This year's been a lot better. Andrew, just... You've been around Jack Johnson a little bit. You know the story. What was your reaction when you saw what had come out regarding his finances?
Pretty sad. I played with Jack for 2 years in Michigan. Lived with him. Me and four other guys lived with each other. It was pretty unfortunate to read about, to be honest. Just because. It's your family and, your family, I know my family, are people that I trust and, with everything I have. So that was, to wake up in the morning and read at breakfast and to know the person and to know the guy was pretty sad. And, like I said, I was in Michigan for 2 years with him and Jack's parents live with him. They lived in Michigan as well. And, they have us over for the odd Sunday to, have dinner or have food. And, so I don't know, you can't obviously foretell the future at that point, but, when we were in Michigan, we were pretty close with Jack because I live with him.
I'm just curiosity on that one, Andrew. I understand that, he didn't talk about it to Aaron Portsline. He did a tremendous story on it. And I understand that he's really kind of gone dark. He hasn't talked to a lot of people about it. He really doesn't discuss it a lot. Just out of curiosity, have you been able to reach out to him and, try to help him deal with this particular situation?
No, I haven't. We talk when we play each other, but I don't think I'm in a position to talk to him about that. I think obviously this is a pretty personal matter, but no, I haven't been able to talk to with any of this. I don't think anyone really knew, including myself.
I don't know if you heard the discussion. We'll move on to some hockey issues, but just to finish this one off, Andrew, I don't know if you heard Elliot was talking about Brian Berard, who now counsels players on how to deal with their money issues. And I think it's easy for fans to say, they're making millions of dollars. It must be easy, but it's not necessarily that easy. And I mean, do you have a philosophy on how you approach it to make sure you don't to end up losing all the money that you've earned by playing in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I'm from a pretty hardworking family, and when I was growing up, like a lot of players in the league, you're not used to making that kind of money and being in this position, so. For myself, what I look at as my career, to basically just save my money. I do what I need to do in terms of buying my property and places to live, obviously, and I have a car and so on and so forth. But other than that, with my money, my main goal is to save as much as I possibly can, because you don't know how long your career actually is. Obviously you have contracts and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, nothing is totally, guaranteed. So, for myself, I think I've surrounded myself with the right people and I just, in my eyes, in my philosophy, I just do the basic things for myself that, makes my money in the right places and doing the right things and go from there. But, you know, I think, like I said, you're not used to making that type of money, especially when you're younger. And with my family, we obviously, like a lot of other guys in the league, it's a lot of money and you have to do the right things with it.
When you were in Edmonton, Andrew Cogliano is with us on Hockey Central at noon. When you were at Edmonton, it was about making the playoffs and then try and do whatever you can with it. Much different in Anaheim. Does that seep into your head very much, or is it a game-by-game situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's I've gone from probably extreme to extreme in terms of being from Edmonton to Anaheim. And you know, in Anaheim, the standard is you have to win. That's just the bottom line. You know, every time we play, we expect to win. I'm not saying that's not what it was in Edmonton. You know, but the years I was there, you sometimes went into games and you really knew you weren't going to win. But in Anaheim, it's completely different. You know, I feel like, you know, the organization is at such a high level that you really have no time to feel comfortable. And we have a leadership group, you know, with Getsy, Pairs, and guys like that, and Bruce. We just, you know, it's just that attitude of every game we want to win, and that's the bottom line. So, especially with Bruce, you know, with Bruce being there, you know, as a coach, he's such a winner, and he's so emotional in terms of winning and doing things the right way that, as players, and especially for myself, you really have no choice but to do the right things.
Is Corey Perry's nickname really Pears? That's what I took out of that answer.
It's Worm.
It's Worm?
Worm?
Pretty much sums him up.
Awesome.
Oh, that is outstanding. That is,
you wish you'd had that before your 30 thoughts today,
right,
don't you?
I do. I could have gone to bed 15 minutes earlier. Wow.
Worm.
Who gave him that one?
I don't know. I think it was here when I was here, but maybe Getsy did. But you know, it pretty much sums him up, how he plays, and you know, when he finds a way to make things happen with there. And even though he's big, he's
How long do you walk around? and I wonder. I'm curious on Corey Perry's side of it. When do you accept that as your nickname and as it being a pseudo compliment? When you turn that corner?
I don't know. You know, that guy, he's something else. But, you know, I think he's obviously just taking it on. And we know that's the nickname in our room now.
I'm curious, Andrew, yesterday you guys make a trade. You add Renee Borg for Brian Allen. And Bob Murray pointedly on the conference call comes out and says, I'm doing this because I don't like the way our forwards are playing. As a forward, how do you take that?
The challenge. You know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think it just points to, you know, the team and the organization where I think it's first place in the conference and second in the league, and things aren't maybe going as way we planned. And I think that's just, like I said earlier, that just shows, you know, the standard of the team and the organization. But yeah, you know, for myself, it's a challenge. As one of the forwards, obviously, obviously you need to take it as one of those guys that maybe isn't playing up to the level that he wants us to. And you know, we have a lot of forwards and good forwards already, and you're bringing another guy, another good player who played against Borg for when he was in Calgary, and he was really, really good. So I think my personality, and I know a bunch of other guys are the same way, we're taking it as a challenge and taking it as an opportunity as healthy competition. You know, at the end of the day, we all want to play and we all want to be in a lot of situations on the ice. And for myself, I know that's how I'm taking it.
Last night you guys went to Vancouver, 1-4-3 in a shootout. Ryan Kessler's return to Vancouver. It was certainly hyped as a big event for him going back there and as a big emotional event. What was your perception of that game and Kessler's approach and your team's approach?
Yeah. I think, you know, I actually expect them to do a little more for him, but, obviously, you know, how things ended there probably wasn't the best way, but he was a good player there for a long time, and I played against him in Edmonton, and he was one of the guys that made that team go for a long time there, and he put a lot of heart and soul in their organization. But, it seemed like things were very hyped in the day and the day before with the media and so on and so forth, but once the game came, it kind of things settled down. And I think it was tough for Kess to play. I don't think it was an easy game for him to play because, he's been there for so long, and I'm pretty sure he had different things going on in his head and different emotions. But, for our team, we needed a win. We've been going to overtime and going to shootouts for the last, seven or eight games, and we just needed 2 points. So, the last two games we've been playing great hockey for stretches of the game, and then it seems like we can't. We have a 20-minute lapse where things don't go well, and we kind of lose our focus, and that's what's been happening the last two games. But it was huge to get the 2 points. Especially, we got in later, really late tonight and have a day off today. So,
two quick one-timers before we let you go. If somebody had Dress as the backup goaltender, Rolison's not around, which skater would it be?
probably throw Pat Maroon in there. He's a pretty big body.
and this is an emotional weekend around the National Hockey League because they're going to get rid of the dry scrape.
Yeah.
Between regulation and overtime.
You can ask him his memories.
How will you remember the dry scrape era in the NHL?
Oh, you know what? It's pretty painful, to be honest. I have a short attention span as it is. I caught myself yesterday looking up in the stands for the full 5 minutes. It's just, you lose a little bit edge of the game. It is what it is. I don't think it makes the ice that much better, which is the point. Right. I don't know. So you're sitting there for 5 minutes and you're staring up in the stands, and you kind of lose that feeling of the game a bit. So I'm happy they're kind of taking it out.
Now, and as one of the league's great skaters, I'm thinking all the talk about going overtime to 3-on-3 as a possibility, maybe as early as next season. I'm thinking that's something that Andrew Cogliano is going to say, oh, yeah, giddy up. I'd be up for that. Would that be something you'd like to do?
That'd be great for me. I got to talk to Bruce, and hopefully I get out there. But, if it goes 3-on-3, I'll be a happy camper. That'd be a lot of ice. 4-on-4, sometimes you feel like there's way more ice out there, and especially when guys get tired, it makes a huge difference. So 3-on-3 would be awesome.
Nice goal last night. Nice win. Keep it going.
Say hi to Worm for us.
I will.
All right.
See ya. Worm.
That is outstanding.
Like, okay, I'm going to say that's one of the better player interviews we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
He was terrific.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
Like, he really is. Cognizant.
I think the player should... they're going to bring the shovelers out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead
the players should do it.
I think the players should do it.
Then you'd really find out what the team dynamics were, right?
Exactly.
Your fourth liners are out there just scraping away.
You haven't skated much. Get some work in.
You have no chance of seeing the ice again.
You can make that a league rule. Like the four guys with the least ice time on your roster that night, they have to go out and shovel.
I'll tell you, Elliot and I were down there the other day when they were having this, and I was almost embarrassed to talk about the dry scrape as the significant issue of the GM's meetings.
You know what, though? They reacted to it, and they did something about it.
They said it's not working.
It wasn't working.
Good. Yeah. Yep.
And they didn't wait till the end of the season.
But it's funny, ever since they brought in overtime, they've cleaned the whole ice. They've cleaned parts of the ice. They've scraped the ice. You wouldn't have thought that would be one of the great issues of our generation, but it's turned out to be that way. And probably the next one will be, our team doesn't like the way they shoveled the ice. Reshovel it. That's what's going to happen.
Well, wasn't there a game when Paul Maurice was coaching in Toronto where he argued about the dry scrape in front of his net?
And shootout.
It was the Islanders, wasn't it?
Yeah, the resurfacer back out.
Yes. Yes. So yes, that will definitely occur. And which team has an advantage because their shovelers are particularly good or bad? Yes, that'll be an issue.
Well, there's going to be Corsi and Fenwick readings on the shovelers for various teams, and they're going to rank them in terms of quality, appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Appearance, I would
imagine.
Quickness. That's right. They're getting theirs done in 2 minutes, 21 seconds. Why is it taking our people 2 minutes, 48 seconds? Well,
I also thought that a dry scrape would lead to more goals. I really did.
Mm.
And it that and the long change haven't equated to the dramatic increase in results. In
no, and that's why we're looking at 3-on-3.
Yeah.
There's too many shootouts. Does anybody here disagree?
No.
I don't know what the appropriate percentage I would say of shootouts. I think 20%, 20 to 25% max. Mm-hmm. When the shootout came in, I was a big supporter of it. I'm not anymore because there's just too many of them. And I don't think the league ever thought you'd have this many games, that there would be more games decided 4-on-4. It just hasn't happened.
Can the Twitter people send in their nicknames for Damian, Elliot, and Millard? If Corey Perry is called Worm,
yeah.
What would you attach to
Damospin? Here we go. What about Elliot?
He said me too, but yeah. I bet you your nicknames are going to be better than mine.
Some of mine may even be able, we can repeat on the broadcast.
probably about as many games that ended in a shootout, we can repeat the ones on the broadcast.
Well, we were going through the other night the best Twitter.
Why did you do that?
Talking.
Like, the thing is just like going banana. it's like a roulette wheel now.
There's three people that's funny with. One doesn't partake in Twitter, it's Glenn Healy.
Yeah.
And then PJ Stock and Damian.
Yeah.
Where it's just fascinating.
Well, you know.
So we'll read some of those to you. Plus,
would you?
Round out the schedule tonight on Sportsnet, Friday Night Hockey, and New Jersey, Edmonton, New York Islanders, Pittsburgh on Sportsnet West, Sportsnet 1. Recap last night and the three stars. Did you get your three? You did 30 thoughts.
I did.
The star?
Yeah. Yeah. The producer, Matt Marchese, was on top of it. Yeah.
It's when we continue. Well, for 15 minutes, he's in the elevator. He's in the elevator.
slow ride up.
Yeah. It's Hockey Central at noon. Yeah. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hockey Central noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet, the NHL Network in the United States. Darren Millard with Elliot Friedman and Damian Cox. You guys will be on Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night. Second period.
Second intermission,
I guess.
I know, we're kind of...
You guys are upstairs.
We kind of hang out together on Saturday
Stadler
nights.
And Waldorf upstairs, making fun of everybody. some great nicknames coming in to at Darren Millard.
Oh, geez.
It's great. It's funny. There's been some good ones. Darren Millard, Johnny Two Times.
What does that mean?
Goodfellas.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Or Elliot, Ernie from Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Damospin, Gru from Disposable Meat.
See, and I don't know who that is, so.
You could Google it pretty easily.
That would take a lot of effort.
Yeah, it'd take time.
And then there's a bunch of other ones that we can't read on the air. The best, though, is the bald eagle. That wasn't from today, but for Damian, but was sent in. And Damien's daughter actually was the first person to read it.
Elliot, of course, thinks I should put it on T-shirts and franchise the whole thing.
I think that bald ego is a fantastic.
Oh.
It's creative.
Yes.
Excellent play.
Better than
words.
Worm?
I think they're both equally good for different reasons.
Do you think Perry would be sour that thing got out there?
I don't know. I don't think he cares.
Is Worm worse than Rat? Because guys have been called Rat before.
No, I think that is so funny. And the fact that Getzlaff apparently gave that to him.
Any nickname in hockey that isn't just a shortening with Pearson. A Y at the
or
end
S.
of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or S. Any of them are fine by me.
Okay, what was your nickname growing up?
I never had one. I never had a nickname.
You've never?
Never had a nickname until people started calling me, covering hockey, started calling me Damo. That is the first nickname I've ever had.
Yeah, I never had one either.
Really?
The Fridge I picked up from Spider Jones. Yeah. When he couldn't pronounce my name properly. Yeah.
Wow. Surprises me.
How about you?
Mallard.
Oh, yeah.
Marmalard. Marmalade. I was Marmalade.
That's not the nickname that Kiprios and McLean seem to use a lot.
No, that's the idiot host. Why do you talk?
Yeah.
You never played the game. You idiot host. Why do you talk?
All in one.
All in one.
That's tough to fit on a font bar, too.
It gets a little uncomfortable when you're at the airport and you're like, hey, idiot host, why do you talk? We'll save a spot in the lounge the
game.
For you. You
never hashtag played the game. Idiot host. Yeah. You never played the game.
Time for the
two hashtags.
Time for the three stars. We put some music in here yesterday. Just to help it along. Darren Millar's going with, or Johnny two times, going with Cody Franzen. Not just the win last night, but the Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman also picks up another point to extend his point streak to 9 games. Did anybody in this room have Cody Franzen with the longest point streak in the Toronto Maple Leafs this year? And no. It might end up being the longest point streak. It's still intact at 9 games. So impressive on a couple of different levels.
Cody, we salute you.
Okay, we'll get back to that in just a minute. But this is a lot on you after 30 thoughts.
Yeah, you know,
and then preparing
if I
would have
shown up, if I would have shown up earlier than a minute before the show, and I knew you were picking a Toronto player, I would have switched my pick. I took James Van Riemsdyk. It's been a nightmare of a week in Toronto. And, you know, I really do believe that.
Do you guys watch any other teams or just the Leafs?
Sorry.
I actually tried to take yours, but
I only
gone.
Have basic cable. you know, I think that this
heard
is,
of Game
these,
Plus?
Are the, these are the kinds of weeks.
now he's thinking, oh, crap.
Now he's realized he's insulted the corporation.
Guy Lawrence on line one.
How much trouble am I going to get in after this show? I think after a week like this, especially in a city like this, where they tend to overreact slightly to things like not doing a stick salute after a game, mm-hmm. you learn who the guys are that you can really depend on in difficult times. And I thought Van Riemsdyk showed that he's one of the guys that can lean on.
Damo?
How about Nick Bjugstad of the Florida Panthers? Now, the Panthers aren't having a great year.
But he's had a great week.
Well, we talked to Dale Tallon the other day, and he's really encouraged. Ekblad's starting to play better. They're getting a few guys back from injuries. Luongo's keeping the puck out of the net. They're competitive. They go in, they win last night, and Bjugstad had a terrific game. So he's mine.
One more spike of the music, and then take her out. It gets going a little bit. No. I like it. Twitter hates it.
Really?
Yeah, we used it yesterday.
Twitter hates most things.
Not like, what was the name of the song they used to play in Hartford?
The Brass Bonanza.
Brass Bonanza, yeah.
So there's this controversy on Twitter mm-hmm. and around the hockey world that Phil Kessel wasn't as enthused as he should have been when the Toronto Maple Leafs, after their victory last night, get together and salute the crowd, which is one of the fakest things that's ever been put in place with hockey.
Yeah, like I when I first saw it, I think was after a big playoff win or something. When it had to be something you did after every game, I don't know.
Well, the Rangers
started.
Were kind of like when the Rangers had the heavy Czech yeah. influence mm-hmm. with Jágr, they were mm-hmm. the first team that really started to do it. Although I think Kasparaitis was the guy who came up with the idea.
Like to me,
and then teams started picking it up.
To me, it was my recollection was a thing that you would see teams do at the end of a season, at their last game, if they didn't make the playoffs or if they got knocked out of the playoffs. And then they'd sort of salute the fans. But you now have to salute the fans after every game or people get upset, I guess.
Well, evidently they do, as we found out this morning. What a scene, though, apparently at the Toronto practice today. You know, Randy Carlyle mm-hmm. calls them all off as a group, which doesn't usually happen. They go in there and they meet for about 10 minutes. And I guess they're getting...
It's a massive case of overthink.
The idea of what they should say and... They said, well, it's changing up the routine. It wasn't an insult to the fans. It is an incredible, incredible overreaction. Although I will say
but
I
in did- this market, if somebody's going to go out and say something offhand about the fans, it's going to make it a ton worse.
Well, that's why, Darren, why? I was talking to one PR guy this morning.
Are they not going to come?
He's trying to talk.
No, I'm challenging your dopey point. Why?
So,
are they not going to come?
XY says, just relax. It doesn't mean anything.
You know what
I
hear?
Well, if it doesn't mean anything, why do you do it?
You know what I hear from people all the time? We don't care if Phil Kessel talks. We just want him to score goals and for the team to win. I would imagine that's probably how most fans feel. Half of them are gone out of the building anyway.
That's between not talking. That's saluting. Evidently, they care more about that.
Between the jersey tossing and now this apparent snub.
Actually, I was talking to one PR guy this morning from another team, and he was saying that he's had situations where his team has said, you know, we're annoyed at the fans about how they treated us last game. We're not going to do this celebration. And he has told his team, you do not need that aggravation.
But don't you
do it.
See, the, to me,
say his case point.
To me, at least it's honest.
Yes. To me, I agree with that. And, you know, we expect players to be, and fans expect players to be as passionate about their teams as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So if the players show passion by saying, screw you all after this week, it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But the PR guy is right, Damien, in the sense that now we've created another controversy.
Like, you just don't want to go there.
Yeah, but again, what are the fans in Toronto going to do? And it's been a long story here that, you know, they're going to go and cheer. I was surprised the other night in the 9-2 game when they got their first goal, the roar that went up, you know, that they were down by 8, I think, at the time.
Yeah, it's 8-0.
And it's my point of view on Leaf fans has really become the same. For the vast majority of them, and they just want to win tonight. They don't worry about the 15 in a row they just lost, or the fact they may not make the playoffs, or the fact that they haven't won the Cup since 67. They just want to win tonight's game. And that's basically how it goes for many Leaf fans. Not all. I'm not going to talk about all Leaf fans. And some of them will be insulted, I'm sure, by the salute. Most of them doubt it.
I like the Leafs' leap a couple of years ago when they were on that big late-season charge to make the playoffs. And remember, it was Sundin was still playing. They gathered around the goalie, and they all started jumping up and down. Some, like, mosh pit.
Is it so when they stopped doing that, was that an insult to the fans, too?
I know.
it was an insult to mosh pits.
I thought it was unfortunate when they stopped. They used to – 3 stars when I was a kid, which was a long time ago, was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
You stayed.
Yeah. You stayed. It's become a less thing, less of a big thing over the years. Mostly, I think, because now it's really obvious that it's picked by the hometown guys, and they pick the hometown guys. It's not really the 3 stars of the game. But one of the things that really bothered me a couple years ago was the players used to come out, and then the couple would give their sticks away. Well, now they do, except they give them some cheapo stick to give away.
That's because sticks cost $500 now.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but that's also not real. It's fake. It's
still a souvenir. It's probably autographed. What's wrong with that?
It's not. It's because the idea was, I'm giving you the stick that I use to play this great game.
Maybe after Scott Niedermayer threw a stick into the crowd in Anaheim and those people all killed each other for it, they decided that.
Or when Matt Sundin threw his stick into the stands,
and he got suspended for a game. Maybe they just decided we're not doing that anymore.
I'll be happy if they bring back the salute, but please get rid of the silly skate by the bench like Adam players and touch each other's hands.
Why you hate that?
Yeah, well, you know somebody else who hates it.
What? Trevor Linden, yeah.
Trevor Linden.
He hated it. As a matter of fact, the Canucks used to talk about how they weren't allowed to do it until he
retired. St. Louis stopped doing it last year. Please.
In Spokane, I don't know whether they still do it, the fans used to hang over the glass all the way down. Oh, the players would go down the bench and then all the way down with the fans.
And that's what my 9-year-old daughter's soccer team does after they play a game. They all run by and clap hands with all the parents, too.
Do they salute after the game with their socks in the air or something like that? Are there soccer cleats?
They're Kool-Aid.
They're Kool-Aid. Outstanding.
I don't know what, like, I'm starting to side with people on Twitter about you.
Oh, that's all right. Hang on.
60 seconds.
I was bothered by it. I'm over it now.
We're finger cooking lunch today. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com.
Okay. Mm.
Yep. Over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza. We thank you for that. Elliot Friedman making his Hockey Central debut. How do you find it?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you're more
not
of a
so much my appearance, but
you're
I enjoyed
a prime
the show.
Time guy, right? So
yes.
This is...
I'm on there today, too, actually.
Are you?
Yeah. Double dipping.
You going to wear the hat?
I'm debating going home to clean up first.
Don't debate, Elliot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we get in the way of you over there?
I'm listening.
Tweeting?
I'm listening to you, too.
Friday Every night hockey word. Tonight.
Yep. Portland and Kelowna. They'll be a good one. A couple of good NHL draft prospects in this one. Paul Bittner for the Winter Hawks. Nick Merkley of the Kelowna Rockets, who have lost one game this season.
Sportsnet West, Edmonton, New Jersey.
In regulation.
The Islanders, Pittsburgh on Sportsnet 1. Thanks to Andrew Cogliano for joining us and Jim Nill. And we look forward to watching the Worm this weekend when Anaheim plays.